Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also Steve Vaughn in studio today. He is a homeschool father of six. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be back again.
You know, Steve, we are living in a rather ignominious age, which means that there just aren't that many heroes for our children these days. I mean, we're not looking at an age in which we have, you know, identified the great martyrs of the faith, the Stephens, the Elijahs, the great men of God. And yet there are some instances of that. You know, we need role models for our kids. And persecution against Christians are all over the place. I think we're living in the largest persecution in recent history, perhaps in the last 500-600 years. Just the last 5-6 years, we have seen persecution rising all over the world. And our children need to be aware of this. That's one reason why the Worldview in 5 Minutes refers back to the persecutions towards Christians in Africa, in Asia, and other places as well. But it's also happening in Australia, Canada, and America, and the drama is increasing. I think these are excellent tests as to whether there is real faith, and there is faith in the Western world, and we're thankful for that. We've talked about Israel Folau. Remember the rugby player from Australia?
Yeah, he was on the Wallabies or something like that. I can't remember what team he's on.
Yeah, I think it's the Wallabies. He is one of the best. I think he's the third best rugby player in the world. And one of the few examples of a courageous man of faith in our generation. He's willing to put his career on the line for his testimony for the gospel of Jesus. And just 2 days ago, the Rugby Australia Judicial Board found him guilty. Apparently, he was found guilty of warning idolaters, thieves, adulterers, and homosexuals of hell, and then reminding them that only Jesus saves. So that came on his Facebook account, I think. Only Jesus saves, in, you know, large 48-point font. So he was found guilty of blasphemy for these comments in the court of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the Rugby Australia court. As you know, Steve, it's effectively Sodom that rules the sports world, the media world, the political world. Sodom rules. And if you violate Sodom's rules, if you in any way suggest that humanist autonomy to determine your own sexual form, your own sexuality is curtailed by God's law, if there's any point at which you call anybody to repentance, you're going to be in trouble. And I think that includes the corporate world too. I don't know, you're working for IBM or HP, you probably run into the same problem.
Yeah, you certainly can. I know that at least with the NCAA, they decided that they weren't going to do any Final Four or any major basketball games in, what was it, North Carolina, when they decided not to pass a bathroom bill to allow everybody to go to the bathroom where they wanted. And yeah, it's just crazy. I think this is one of the new politically correct persecutions. You can persecute Christians anywhere. And in fact, the left and, you know, most of the liberal media and all of that aren't even going to say the word Christian along with the persecution or murder or anything else like that. It would be like Easter worshipers or people who are of some form of faith, but they're not going to say that Christians are being persecuted at all.
Well, Izzy Folau has been found guilty of blasphemy in the court of Sodom. Now, he has a little support from the Tonga team. And thankfully, there are still few of these little nations that have a small bit of sense and retain something of a Christian heritage from the missionaries that worked there 140 years ago. The post-Christian nations are going to hell, while the last will be first. And so the Tonga team has reached out. But here's the deal. Izzy has given up a $4 million a year contract in Australia. And I think that Tonga's GDP is somewhere around $4 million.
Probably.
So I don't think he's going to get much more than 40 grand for playing for Tonga.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, when his annual income is higher than several nations, that if he goes to those nations, they're not going to give him their entire GDP.
Well, friends, the Tonga team has reached out to Israel Folau, and he might be able to play for Tonga if Rugby Australia tears up the 30-year-old's contract to play the sport. You get a little persecution. It's interesting to see what will happen with others around you. Watch the leaders. Will they stand or will they buckle? We're going to talk about Australia Hillsong leader Brian Houston and how he's reacting to Izzy Folau's persecution in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Stay tuned. Hello, folks. I've attended the Christian Home Educators Father-Son Retreat in Colorado with my son Daniel for 12 years now, and it's been a big part of our lives. I love spending time with my son. It almost goes without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together. What better time to spend than time in the Word, time in the mountains, time with a couple hundred other godly men from around the country? Is it time to turn off the electronic media, recharge in the Word, and renew relationships for you? Are you thinking you might need to fill up your tank with biblical vision, encouragement in the battle, and the enjoyment of relationships? Well, if that's the case with you, come on down to our annual Colorado Father-Son Retreat at Sky Ranch Camp in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, August 29th through September 1st. The price is only $219 for dads and $129 for sons, and that includes all meals and board for a limited time only, folks. It's 4 days of fellowship, teaching, and adventure in the mountains, including rifle shooting, bowling, water slides, indoor racquetball courts, and world-class recreation centers, rock climbing, and a whole lot more. So for more information, check it out at ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio. As we take a look at the modern hero of the faith, not many, especially in the Western world today, but Izzy Folau is standing for the gospel, standing for the faith, and willing to risk his life and at least his life's earnings for the sake of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has certainly been willing to lay down his life for the gospel, and we appreciate that. However, he is not supported by every aspect of evangelicalism, persecution being an excellent opportunity to determine between the wheat and the tares, those with faith, those without faith. Yes, persecution is the fire that burns, and it turns out that a fair amount of the work that's been done will turn out to be wood, hay, and stubble. There will be gold, silver, and precious stones. As the persecution happens, the fire burns, we begin to see a separation of that with faith and that without faith. And Hillsong is very big in evangelicalism today.
Well, at least they're standing up for Izzy Folau, right? Well, no, Hillsong, at least?
Turns out they're not.
They're not?
They're not standing for Folau. No. No, Australia Hillsong leader Brian Houston, he came out against Israel Folau.
Against him? What?
After. Yes. And Houston referred to Folau as judgmental in his column he wrote for the mainstream media source, the Sydney Morning Herald. I doubt if the Sydney Morning Herald would have covered anything of a positive support for Israel Folau. I mean, here you are burning the guy at the stake with the support of the mainstream media and the sports complex and everything else. It's doubtful that the Sydney Morning Herald would have taken anything of a positive stance towards Izzy Folau, and Brian Houston joined with this secular media source, the Sydney Morning Herald, to condemn Izzy Folau, again, referring to Folau's judgmental and discouraging this message concerning turning from sin. That's the part that he didn't like. You know, now, I think Brian Houston has an issue not just with Israel Folau, but also with the Apostle Paul in Acts 17, where Paul has an opportunity to speak in a public forum, much like Israel Folau had an opportunity to speak in a public forum. And here Paul on Mars Hill stands up and calls all men everywhere to repent because God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. So Paul chooses to stand and call the nations to repentance and announce the judgment of Almighty God by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ at the final day. Now, it's shameful, friends, that Brian Houston, this would-be evangelical leader, would stand up and condemn a calling the world to repentance and a reminder to the nations that Jesus saves. He condemns Folau for his calling the nations to repent. He condemns Folau for his condemning of sin and his statement that only Jesus saves. So it's sad to see Brian Houston taking such a strong stance against Izzy Folau and the Gospel.
I wonder what he would have done had Brian Houston been there on Mars Hill, or even at the point where Stephen was arguing with all of the religious leaders and talking about how, is there any prophet that they didn't kill? Is there any prophet that they didn't persecute? He would have been there, I think, with Saul of Tarsus as they were stoning Stephen to death. And he would have been there with the rest of them trying to condemn Paul after Paul's conversion.
Oh, yes, to see the Apostle Paul taking the one opportunity he had on Mars Hill to call the nations to repentance and to announce the judgment of Almighty God is, I'm sure, something Brian Houston would never have accepted. It turns out Brian Houston takes a pragmatic argument in his article in the Sydney Morning Herald. He says, I have seen that the turn or burn approach to proclaiming the message of Christianity alienates people. Scaring people doesn't draw them into the love of Jesus. And that's precisely what Paul did at Mars Hill, evidently not calling them to the love of Jesus. So Brian Houston stands in the face of the Apostle Paul. Brian Houston stands in the face of Scripture and the proclamation of the gospel. He stands in the face of John the Baptist. The first word out of his mouth was repent. First word out of the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ as he brought the gospel in his day was to repent. That's exactly the message the Apostle Peter took when he spoke on the day of Pentecost, repent, and that is the message that the Apostle Paul took to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 17. So Brian Houston turns against every one of the apostles. He turns against the Lord Jesus Christ and announces that any kind of a message concerning hell, any kind of a message concerning the judgment of God, any kind of message concerning turning and repenting is something that just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, Brian Houston needs to turn from his wrong views of repentance and his wrong views of Christ's amazing recreating resurrection work in our lives. I think the other aspect of this is that Houston writes in his article that Christians aren't perfect either. Christians are idolaters, liars, and homosexuals, the people that Israel is calling to repentance. He said Christians have the same problems of idolatry, of lying, of homosexuality. But the problem here is that Brian Houston is blinded to the concept of the new creation. He doesn't understand that we are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things become new. The old man is passing away. The old man dies. Good riddance. We want to see the old man dying. We want to see the old man going to hell. The old man is dead and dying. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 also reminds us that as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were the liars. We were the thieves. We were the idolaters. We were the homosexuals. Such were some of you in the past tense, the aorist tense. Such were some of you, but you have been washed. You have been cleansed. You have been justified. And so the idea that there is a new man in Christ, there is a resurrected new man that rises up and walks in newness of life, the idea that the old man, characterized by sin, was nailed to the cross is something that Brian Houston apparently has not received. And I would really encourage Brian Houston to turn away from his wrong views of the gospel, his wrong views of repentance, his wrong views of Christ's amazing recreating resurrection work in our lives. And here's one more thing, Steve. I think Brian Houston needs to turn from cowardliness. Revelation 21 verse 8 reminds us, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So you know, it's for all of us to turn, or we will burn. And that really is what the Word of God tells us.
Yeah. It's interesting how much warfare symbolism there is. I mean, the armor of God. It wasn't the t-shirt and jeans of God. It was the armor of God, not the ball cap of salvation. It was the helmet of salvation tied together with a belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit. All of those are fighting words. You don't put armor on somebody who's not brave and ready to stand, and when all is done, to stand for the faith and to chase off the evil one. That's what we're all about. It's not about sunshine and rainbows and pink fluffy unicorns. That's not what Christianity is about. This is warfare.
You think that Brian Houston lacks a concept of the antithesis and the battle between the Christian and the world, the flesh, and the devil? Has he capitulated? What are you saying, Steve? Are you saying that Brian Houston is walking away from the battle and he's unwilling to really engage the battle and take down the ideas that have exalted themselves above the knowledge of God in Christ? Is that his issue?
I'm not sure. I think what's going on is there's so many people out there that think that we need a kinder, gentler Jesus, that as he was saying, "You slimy snakes, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath," that he was actually smiling and winking at them at the same time. We need to have a proper view of who Christ is and what this message is and what the world system actually is. It's something that you need to turn away from, because if you don't, it is turn or burn. People are so upset about offenses today. I mean, to offend somebody is like one of the highest crimes that you could commit. Oh, you are offensive. You offended me. You're giving me microaggressions and all of that. We have turned into a world of wimps, and Christianity is going that same direction. Christianity is not for wimps. It's for people ready to give up their very lives in horrible ways for the faith. And that's really what it's all about. If you're not willing to do that, I have to question whether, you know, if you're not willing to die for something, are you really willing to live for it?
So what you're saying is this doesn't appear to be Hebrews 11. These aren't powerful and wonderful examples of Christian faith against a world that is set against us. So what we're looking for is true faith, true manifestations of faith, and we're not seeing that, friends, as you find a Christian leader joining forces with the mainstream media to attack a Christian in Australia who is being persecuted right now. There are certainly warnings in Scripture not to gang up against Christians as they are being persecuted. Really, there are two sides developing, friends, the side of the devil and the side of Christ, and we see that happening throughout history. There's the post-Christian world that rejects the idea of repentance, that rejects the idea of the power of God or the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins and to realign our identity such that we're no longer part of the homosexual lesbian identity, but we are new creatures in Christ. We are identified by our label of being in Christ and being Christians. We have a new nature. We have been recreated. We've resurrected, and now we are walking in newness of life. There's a new creature here. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. These things are being rejected by a faithless Christian world that doesn't like the idea of the power of resurrection giving us a new identity in Christ. This apostate evangelicalism doesn't like the idea of Christ really saving us from our sins. It doesn't like the idea of repentance, of turning away from sin. It doesn't like the idea of God's judgment or declaring God's judgment as John the Baptist did, as Jesus did, as the Apostle Peter did, as the Apostle Paul did, as we read in the early church fathers. Friends, the message of repentance was the basic message. That is the message that needs to be conveyed to the nations according to the Lord's commission in Luke chapter 24. So again, friends, we're looking at people who are turning back towards the world. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Sadly, the post-Christian world is more and more apostatizing and more drawn to the world. And friends, I think we need to be careful with a Hillsong worldview. I know that it has captured much of Western evangelicalism. I was just reviewing the 100 most popular worship songs of 2018. And Steve, about half of the top 100 worship songs amongst the evangelical churches today are Hillsong or Bethel. And Bethel not doing much better than the Hillsong worldview. But let's be sure that we're careful as we consider the worldview of these various organizations. These are the evangelical leaders. Now, who is leading you? Are you being led by the faith of Izzy Falau, or are you being led by the faithlessness or the general lack of faith of the Hillsong leader, Brian Houston? Whose side are you on in this conflict? I think that's the question here. Now, the other thing, Steve, I think we have to be careful of is that we rightly distinguish between majors and minors. There are two ways to give way to schism and take the wrong side. One is to just compromise with the world. The other is to make a huge deal out of minor issues and then become extremely schismatic. So, you know, some people don't like the Hillsong style of music, but the style of music is the minor thing. That's the external thing. And when people are constantly focusing on forms and styles of music, there's such a flakiness here. Don't get caught up in the trap of constantly criticizing forms. It only proves that you're an externalistic flake. And I've been guilty of that kind of thing myself. So on the one hand, be ever so careful not to go after the externalistic form, but ask yourself rather, what is the underlying worldview? What is it that we are believing? What are the fundamental belief systems that are so flawed? Opposing a message of repentance, standing up against a man of God who's being persecuted in Australia, that's a measure. That's a measure. Brian Houston and the Hillsong leadership are proving themselves to be dangerous during the present persecutions. They're losing the heart of the message. They're losing the gospel message that calls people to repentance and looks to the power of God to resurrect people from their sins and give them a brand new identity in Christ. That's what they're missing. That's what Brian Houston missed in the Sydney Morning Herald editorial. And we need to warn our evangelical friends about Brian Houston and the Hillsong worldview. But I want to end with this, a more positive note here. Let's look at Israel Folau and ask ourselves, what can we learn from Israel Folau? And I think the number one thing we can learn from Israel Folau is we need to be willing to be despised and rejected of the Sydney Morning Herald and Rugby Australia. We need to be willing to be despised and rejected of the cool churches, the cool sports team, the cool and popular media, the cool and popular crowd, in order that we follow the wounded, tortured, whipped body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there something there that attracts you, Steve? Are you attracted to the cool churches, the cool sports teams, or are you more attracted to following the wounded, tortured, whipped body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Calvary?
Yeah, all the cool stuff. I mean, there's some things out there that are mildly attractive. There's certain music that I care for that I like, probably not the same as yours, but when all said and done, it's got to be Christ and Christ alone. And if it's not him, you got nothing.
Here's the second thing I think we can share and that we can learn from Israel Folau, friends. Again, there are those who will stand for the faith and receive the persecution of Jesus, and I appreciate that. And here's the other thing. Be willing to speak the hard words with love and concern for people's souls. To be willing to be persecuted, to be willing to be very, very uncomfortable and very rejected when you warn unbelievers and pray for their souls. The world will beat you for it. Fake Christians will beat you. The devil will beat you. But remember that Jesus was beaten. 2, you will be an outcast if you stand for Jesus and you speak the hard words and you open up your ministry with the word repent or face hellfire. If you say that, those are fighting words, and you will be an outcast. You will not be accepted by your corporation where you work. You will not be accepted by your ungodly relatives. You'll be an outcast like Jesus was. Now, you don't have to overplay the warnings and beat people over the head over and over and over again. You wait for the Holy Spirit to do his work. But some will call you a seed picker, as they did with Paul. But as in the case of Acts 17, where Paul ended his message on Mars Hill, we read that several had questions. A few will be interested. And in the end, you will convert a sinner and save a soul from hell by the Holy Spirit who works within. And that will be a glorious day. So be willing to speak the hard words and pray for the Holy Spirit of God to do the resurrection work and make new creatures in Christ. Well, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast, I'd encourage you to our little book, Taking the World for Jesus, in which we go through 2,000 years of the great evangelists and missionaries that went around the world and brought the gospel to pagan nations, and great things happened through the work of the Holy Spirit and by the brave and courageous words of missionaries who, many of whom, gave their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get a copy of Taking the World for Jesus, an inspiring story of hundreds of missionaries throughout the centuries who have contributed so much to the gospel and to the kingdom of Jesus. It's called Taking the World for Jesus, and it's available at a website. There's a study guide that goes with it as well. But friends, you can find this material at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.